The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Dom, perhaps the most important Monday of the year. Welcome to it, little buddy.
The most important week of the year. Happy birthday week to you, Crudy. And of course, me and my lovely wife, Steffi. Happy birthday today. And Rich on the board. Thank you, sir. Our fair audience. Welcome to the political party. Love it when you hang out with us. Lines always open for you. 844-967-2789. I just for the record, I'm going to slack off a little bit this week. So I just want everyone to be aware.
How will we tell the difference? Yeah. That, of course, the real question, Dom. By contrast, Dom, I would have circled days on the calendar. I would have circled, you know, like a fall date, perhaps November 5th is the most important date of this year. Election day, maybe you've heard of it, Dom. You know, second only to your birthday and mine.
Of course.
As the most important event of the year. And then, Dom, the next most important election of your lifetime will be in April of next year, a Wisconsin Supreme Court election. Ann Walsh Bradley, she has announced the good Bradley. But she ain't running for re-election. And she would have cruised a victory, I suspect, this incumbent, Dom. But a 10-year term. Apparently, she wanted to step aside.
In her 70s. Don't blame her.
Well, you know, she has made her choice. I'm a little disappointed in it, quite frankly, Justice Bradley. Yeah. I called you the good Bradley for a reason.
I'm going to judge you on your decision when you're 72, if you make it.
Well, you know, I'm sure there's many in the audience betting against me, Dom. But anyways, Ann Walsh Bradley leaving, and the only declared candidate, former Attorney General Scotty Walker's buddy, Brad Schimmel.
Oh, that's right.
He was Walker appointee Schimmel.
Yeah. In what, Waukesha County, right?
He's on Waukesha. Oh, yeah. I think he's won election subsequently, though, you know, as an incumbent. Because once you get the title, Dom, you've got incumbency. Well, here's the good news for our fair audience. I also a little disappointed, you know, when I try to move the marionette strings around and the players won't actually follow, you know, they act like they're their own candidates and people.
Weird how that happened.
I wanted Chris Taylor very badly to run for this office, this Wisconsin Supreme Court race. She declined.
She's a judge right now as well, right?
She is. She is an appellate court judge. So one step closer to the Supreme Court, but perhaps not the right timing in her life. Whatever her rationale or reason, she didn't take my good advice and run for the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Rudy, isn't all your advice good? You don't even have to say it.
Even the unheeded.
It's just redundant.
Dominic, what, that it's all going unheeded?
Oh, but it's all good, baby.
Well, it's all good, but much of it goes unheeded. I'm just saying. Dom, liberal Dane County judge to run for Wisconsin Supreme Court. And I would want it to be Chris Taylor, but it's not. It is Susan Crawford, and she has made an announcement, apparently, her intention to run for the highest court in the state. Dane County Circuit Court Judge Susan Crawford said Monday that she will run for the state Supreme Court in 2025 in an effort to preserve the liberal justices' 4-3 majority.
It has been pretty glorious since Protasewicz's victory, hasn't it?
All we've done is, overturn the gerrymander at this point. I mean, that's the only big issue that's been decided by this court. Can you imagine very little gets done and then, boom, they flip the court in the spring?
Oh, God.
And it's back to, 1849? As Brad Schimmel would take us
to. I heard it was a great date for men.
Waukesha County Circuit Judge Brad Schimmel already announced his candidacy for the seat last year. The conservative former attorney general is seeking a leg up in what is expected to be another hotly contested high court race. In a news release announcing her candidacy, Crawford pointed to her experience as a judge and a prosecutor in the Wisconsin Department of Justice. She said the court needs justices who are impartial and fair and who will use common sense and who won't politicize the Constitution to undermine our most basic rights. For the first time in years, we have a majority on the court focused on getting the facts right, following the law, and protecting our constitutional rights, Crawford said. We can't risk having that progress reversed. Hell no, we can't, Dom.
Crudy, after working in the state's attorney general's office, which oversees the DOJ, Crawford was legal counsel for multiple state agencies and worked in private practice before being elected to the Dane County bench in 2018. Now, Crawford and Schimmel are the only two confirmed candidates in the race and will likely be the standard bearers for their respective political wings. Crawford attacked Schimmel's support for enforcing the state's 1849 law that some believe criminalizes abortion, a sign that the issue will once again be important in the high court race after abortion rights proved decisive in Justice Janet Protasewicz's victory over Dan Kelly in 2013.
Can't spell Kelly without two L's.
It is the fourth straight election in which a woman candidate with prosecutorial and judicial experience has received significant backing from liberals. In three of those four races, the left-leaning candidate won. Fingers crossed. Love that trend. Control of the high court will once again be on the line this year after Protasewicz's election, following the most expensive judicial race in Wisconsin history. The newly minted liberal majority struck down the state's legislative maps. It was glorious. The court is set to weigh in on a number of other key subject matters, ranging from the powers of the legislature to whether ballot drop boxes should be allowed and potentially the allowability of abortion in Wisconsin. If Crawford or another left-leaning justice were to win next year, liberals would maintain control of the court until at least 2028 and would have a chance to expand their majority with two conservative justices on the ballot in subsequent years. Andrew Ball reporting over at the Cap Time.
Well, you talk about the female landslide. We've had Protasewicz, obviously. She was the most recent. That was a big victory. You know, Dan Kelly, an especially unpalatable candidate, though. I mean, the guy is contemptuous in many ways, and I'm talking about for the electorate. So when you meet Dan Kelly, and I've met him a couple of times, he's pompous. He was just a bad candidate. And he was the office or the standard bearer twice, right? And Jill Karoski, I believe, also beat Dan Kelly. And I would point out, Rebecca Dallet, she was the first one to kind of go win that seat and really campaign as a liberal, not just as a jurist who was going to be above the fray and wasn't going to give you any of her opinions. I mean, she was out there. We interviewed her, me and my pal Joe Costa-Zamarripa did a walk and talk with now Justice Rebecca Dallet in the Women's March in Milwaukee in 2017, I believe, spring of that year, Dom. Yeah. So maybe it was 18. But anyways, the one exception, Lisa Neubauer. Now, her daughter's doing great. She is the Assembly Minority Leader in the Assembly. Hopefully they're going to prove Crudy right with 50 or more seats and the coming session, Democratic seats. But the biggest question, because we'll pivot immediately after this presidential year, we'll pivot to this race. It'll be hot and heavy, Dom. Cannot have a breath in the political cycles here in the state of Wisconsin. Man.
Self-governance never ends.
Well, it ends never for ends. A bit after the spring elections not really. Next year.
No, I mean, it never ends. I thought at one point it would end, you know, like after elections, like, when the whole recall Walker thing, I'm thinking to myself, goodness, We just got done with this. We just keep on going. This is ridiculous. Just end. No, it never ends. It never ends. So you got to stay tuned in, man. We'll make it light. We'll have fun with it. But there is a recognition. I recognize, Rudy, it never ends.
Well, if Tom can see it, it must be blatantly obvious.
Finally, right?
Here's what I will point out, though. After this Wisconsin Supreme Court race, there will be a respite, really, until the midterms in 2026. And the only thing on the ballot, because unfortunately Rojo is not on the ballot, not unless he's somehow removed from office between now and then. Looking at you, Attorney General Josh Call. But unless Rojo went away, there is no senatorial race on the ballot. There's a gubernatorial race. There's an attorney general's race. But there is no federal race on the ballot that year, other than the constitutional districts, the Congress people down. Those are the ones I was looking for. We'll have a constitutional or a congressional, depending on your point of view, candidate on this fine program later in the big show. Dom, we've got OBGYN Dr. Kristen Lierley. And I noted today, Lisa Rubin at the Washington Post, her column is about the fact that Republicans are coming for your contraceptives. So we thought an OBGYN and congressional candidate, and she's going against that Trump-endorsed Tony Weed guy. So,
and Andrade Jock and what, Roger Roth? There's a couple, but Weed's got the almighty Trump endorsement.
So he is the presumptive nominee, but I think Andrade Jock, I think you got a fighting chance, big guy, to stay in there and slug it out.
Absolutely. Never give up. Never say die.
She joins us at 4:30 today, the aforementioned Dr. Kristen Lierley. Now, for the record, Dom, I didn't fight Susan Crawford on the show today, but we've got to, remember, she is a working judge, so I assume maybe when she's done adjudicating for the day, she'll respond to the text message I've sent her. I had a hint that she had some interest in this role. Actually, a mutual friend had introduced us, and, looking forward to getting to know her a little bit better.
Absolutely. I already like her because she's not Brad Schimmel.
Well, I was going to say, the alternative is Brad Schimmel, and I'm not sure if he's qualified to do the job, Tom.
I think people maybe have a short memory. They don't maybe recall or weren't listening to the greatest radio show ever, and we dug into some of the archives and grabbed just a couple highlights for our fair audience to remind you who's actually sitting in judgment in Waukesha County right now.
And we had a mass shooting at the Lux, a sneak party in Madison over the course of the weekend. We've got some of the sound from the police chief in Madison as well, an update. Stick around. More Devil's Advocates. You're listening right now.
percent of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. I love it when you join the political party on the phone lines. Talk or text 844-967-2789.
Dominic, little mischief happened over the weekend at the Lux, which is a high-end apartment building here in Madison. And apparently there was a sneak party. And I mean, I guess this is the sort of party where you invite lots of people, but it's not necessarily your house. Sort of a squatter party, sort of a, no one will notice if we go up to the clubhouse at night and throw a little shindig. But it got out of hand, and there was a shooting at this party, and we do have some of the sound from the police chief. Rich did the hard work. We've got four cuts here. We'll play them pretty quick. Rich, let's give the update to the Madison audience, WMDX listeners. Play it for the people.
We've had two more people come forward to report injuries. As of today, 12 people were injured. 10 of these victims suffered a gunshot or grazed wound. One was injured by broken glass, and another suffered a shoulder injury while trying to escape the fray.
So 12 people injured trying to get the hell out of there. No one fatally injured in this party gone bad.
thankfully. And a young crowd too, right? Like I saw like young teenagers were here that were injured as well.
Well, we've got an update. Let's keep playing it. The police chief of Bannison, Rich, played for the people.
As chief of police, I want to reassure the public that we are actively investigating the recent incidents of gun violence and are committed to ensuring the safety and security of our community.
I'm not sure that they know who committed this crime or who even threw this party, Dom. I don't know that they know. And they're not even sure, earlier reports, whether or not it was a graduation party, a birthday party, because, you know, they were throwing it at somebody else's house.
Well, it's a rooftop facility party on top of this apartment complex. And presumably this, you know, space is available to all the tenants, right? So it could have been anybody, could have been multiple parties. And hell, you know how it is on a warm summer night. Everyone wants to hang out and have a good time. Unfortunately, this one got out of hand. And thankfully, nobody died.
Okay. So one or two more from the chief plate for the people, if you would, Rich.
This was what we're calling a sneak bash, meaning it was an unauthorized party in a private space.
You ever done that, Dom?
If I had a beer in places I shouldn't have been in, sure. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, it sounded like this was kind of a rager. I think the things I would have been at were more, you know, sneaky than this. I mean, I know they're saying it's a sneak party, but when you have that many people on top of a rooftop of an apartment complex in downtown Madison, that's really not sneaking around. It's kind of out there in the open.
Is that it, Rich? One more. My bad. Rich played
for the people. For this shooting is still currently unknown.
We don't know.
We don't know. We don't know why. We don't know what kind of party it was, but we know there are 12 injured people, relatively young. And I can assure you, my 17-year-old was not amongst them.
Let's see. According to the Madison.com, the Wisconsin State Journal, Madison police are estimating 250 people, including high school students, were on the downtown rooftop when the shooting occurred. That was one of three shootings over the weekend. As mentioned initially, 10 people, but we've got a few more now. 10 people sustained gunshot wounds or grazing in the shooting. One injured by a broken glass, another sustained a shoulder injury while trying to flee. Apparently, shooting broke out sometime after 12:45 a.m. Sunday as police were responding to a complaint about a disturbance on the rooftop. So things are getting out of hand already. Someone called the cops, and as the cops were on their way, the party was not authorized by the owners of the building, and police are trying to determine more about the nature of that party. The victims, their age range, 14 to 23. Eesh.
14?
14, man.
Hang on. Where's your 14-year-old at 12:45 a.m.?
Well, where were you at, man? Were you always home when you were supposed to be? I mean, I'd gone out. Mom, I used to ride my bike down the local tavern. So, no, I was not always home at 12:45 a.m.
What the hell's wrong with your parents?
I came from a broken home, man. I was just trying to cope.
Were you? You weren't from a broken home.
My parents were divorced, man. Yeah.
Did they blame Dominic?
It was all my fault.
You know, sadly, as a ward of the state of Wisconsin, no, I did not find myself in too many compromising circumstances as a high school student. Now, when I was a little bit younger, before I was fully adjudicated and all that kind of stuff, then, yeah, I had a little bit of fun. But don't know if I ever did a sneaky bash. Kind of makes me wonder what my kid's been doing this weekend, but I think he would have enough common sense. But, you know, better to party at someone else's place than your house, right? I mean, think about that. Have you ever had access to, like, an apartment building clubhouse? Or
we had access to, like, wedding venue bars. You know, one of those places I could have, like, three or four weddings at a time. One of my schoolmates, you know, his parents owned it, and we'd sneak in there when they were closed and, you know, hit the code, hit the other code, Zoom. You know, huge building and had multiple bars in it. We just, once the alarms were off, anything you wanted, man, knock yourself out.
Is that not a sneak party?
Well, I mean, because the owner's kid was with us. It's not like, you know, it's not like we broke into the joint. We were let in.
Well, somebody let people into the place at the Lux, Dom. I'm pretty sure somebody was letting the partiers in.
Certainly. But to say, we don't know. They said the owners did not authorize it. But, I mean, your tenants, it's not a condo, right? So the owners of the building, I'm assuming it's an apartment complex and people have in these types of buildings.
You reserve access. The room.
You get access to the room, sure. So you can, you know, sneak out, let some people in, and next thing you know, you got a rager going on. But what are people getting shot over? Come on.
Shocker, we didn't get invited to that party, Tom.
14 to 23, no thank you.
Remember when we were, what were we, mid to late 20s, and we showed up at a couple of college parties one night?
In Madison.
In Madison,
After a Badger football game. And we were, I felt old then, man. You know what I mean? I couldn't be hanging out with 14 to 23-year-olds.
That was 25 years ago. And you were old then. Come back with us.
I got
us.
An old soul, man. What are you going to do? Hey, we got some Schimmel sound. We got to play the Schimmel sound. Don't forget about Brad Schimmel. We got to remind everybody.
Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate will remind you what it sounded like the last time we rolled out a campaign. More Devil's Advocates. You can always be a part. 844-967-2789. Don't forget, it's always a party up in here.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love.
Some welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. I'm checking out the party line, the text line, if you will. Here is a texter to the WMDX. Well, we got a few. Sherry from Horicon. Hi, Devils. Sherry often says hi. Very polite.
Hi, Sherry.
Very friendly. Hi, yeah. Sherry. Here's another one. Wanted to comment on Friday's show. Greatest radio show ever? And then they've got like an emoji with like a questioning, a perplexed look. That's debatable. But towards the end, surely turned into the gayest radio show ever. Dom talking about choking the worm. Talk of bathing in a tub of sausage. Talking bratwurst in the face. I'm sure that CJ was about ready to come out of the closet. Well, happy Pride Month, everyone.
Absolutely.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Someone looked up the Lux. I looked up the apartment complex. The Lux has a 1-star on Yelp. Apparently, ooh, those type of unauthorized parties happen often. Well, it does look nice from the ground level looking up, yeah. But I don't have to live there.
Yeah, no, man. You know, Izzy just moved into her apartment in Winona, and I was like, damn, baby, this is beautiful. It's a nice high, tall ceilings, and I'm like, you know, the apartments that I lived in college, I mean, even the one at the last...
Oh, it was a real crap hole. Years.
I mean, and the last one, the one you and I lived in together, Curdy, was beautiful compared to some of the other things I've been in.
Yes.
And still clean. Thin doors, thin walls, thin windows. You hear everything.
Yes. You and Joe had no secrets.
There were no secrets in
there. But what's the point? These kids today get all the nice stuff?
These kids today.
They just just jack the rents.
Yeah, right. Get paid and knock yourself out. So, yeah, 1-star. That's not great if I understand the rating of Yelp. But what as a tenant there, though, you know, you got to wonder, why would you put up with that? It's almost like those Hutch apartments, man. You know, things just get out of hand after a while.
Well, but nobody lived in the Hutch apartments, the infamous Hutch apartments in La Crosse. And that was right across from campus. That's, you know, that's like, begging,
next door to our place,
that's begging college freshmen and sophomores who were never of legal drinking age to come party, because any party would attract all the dorm rats, right? They're all coming over.
Right. Right.
So, I mean, no one lived there that didn't want to be at the party. No right. one ever that's said,
kind of the point.
I'm super studious. I want to be close to the library. I think I'll live in this Hutch apartment and cut my commute time to the library down. That's not why people live in Hutch apartments.
Oh,
they came for the party, Dom. Just like if you lived in our duplex, you were down for the party.
Right next to Hutch. 844-967-2789. Crudy, more reporting on Dane County Judge Susan Crawford launching her Supreme Court bid. Jesse Appoyan writes a piece up in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can go read it. Jesse's cool. And she does excellent articles. She quotes Crawford statement. Quote, "I am running for Supreme Court justice to protect the basic rights and freedoms of Wisconsinites under our Constitution. Those rights are threatened by an all-out effort to politicize the court and drive a right-wing agenda. I believe Wisconsin deserves better. As a former prosecutor and judge, I know we need Supreme Court justices who understand what it takes to keep communities safe, who are impartial and fair, who will use common sense, and who won't politicize the Constitution to undermine our most basic rights. For the first time in years, we have a majority on the court focused on getting the facts right, following the law, and protecting our constitutional rights. We can't risk having that progress reversed." Dane County Circuit Judge Susan Crawford's statement today.
Let's contrast that with the headline, Urban Milwaukee Online Daily. Our friend Bruce Murphy writes, "Brad Schimmel is Mr. Anti-Abortion." At least he's known for something, Dom. Conservative candidates for the state Supreme Court's a national leader in Bush pushing to ban abortions. A national leader, Dom. Prominent figure. Former Republican Attorney General Brad Schimmel is running for the state Supreme Court as an anti-abortion warrior in hopes to turn the spring 25 election into a nationally funded race that will help conservatives retake control of the majority on the court. Schimmel's. Rich, I think we've got some sound from Schimmel. The last time, here was how he sounded the last time he launched a political campaign. Do we have that? It's just a short one.
I don't even know my own website address.
Yeah, that's how he launched.
That was the start on friendly media, mind you.
Vicky Icky Show. Icky Vicky, depending on your point of view. We got more of Schimmel. Sounds similar to that. How about another one? His expertise.
I don't have a lot of expertise.
No, he does not have a lot of expertise. Doesn't matter what the topic is. He is not an expert at it.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, the hard choices and difficult conversations we've had as a society, like interracial marriage. I think we got one of those quotes as well. What do you say?
Wait. First and foremost, the lapse in judgment, taking the interview request of the Oshkosh I community access station. I mean, what would have been the upside of this interview, quite frankly, candidate Schimmel? And then above and beyond that, to answer the question, it was framed around the interracial marriage question, right?
Yeah, we have the question as well. We have both.
Oh, excellent. Full context. Hate to take this man Schimmel lacking in expertise out of context. I'll play it for the people, Rich.
But if you had been attorney general in, say, the 1950s in a state that did not allow interracial marriage, do you think the proper role of an attorney general then was to not put himself or herself into the mix and say this is wrong?
It is. And I understand the argument.
Your job is to uphold the law, even if it's something that we might look back in the future as absurd or something.
Well, it might be distasteful to me.
Okay. Right. I appreciate your answer.
I've got to stay consistent with that as the state's lawyer. It's not my job to pick and choose.
And didn't he then immediately thereafter have to run off to a fundraiser and find a life?
I got to go.
Tom Moore from the Urban Milwaukee Online Daily. Thank you for that, Rich. Schimmel's national profile on the abortion issue became clearer after a recent New York Times Magazine story documented the key role that a top staff member of Schimmel, his solicitor general, Misha Tetzlin, and we got history with that guy, don't we, Dom? The secretive conservative network that hatched the strategy that took down Roe v. Wade, as the headline put it. As Wisconsin Attorney General 2014-18, Schimmel had created the new position of Solicitor General to pursue national litigation. You know, wasn't that basically to sue against Obama? Wasn't that what his plan was?
Yes.
He hired a Solicitor General to pursue national litigation to undo Democratic policies like abortion rights, Obamacare, and environmental regulations. As former Democratic Attorney General Peg Lautenschlager would charge, Schimmel obtained more than $1 million from the Republican legislature to fund an office of the Solicitor General, with not just an SG, but with deputies and staff to support a political agenda. Schimmel hired Tetzlin in 2015, saying that Misha brings a wealth of experience that will serve our state well in litigation in both the state and federal courts. And one of the major issues the AG wanted Tetzlin to take on was abortion. Schimmel's extreme position on abortion was well documented. He signed onto a 2012 white paper authored by Wisconsin Right to Life, arguing that if the U.S. Supreme Court decision in Roe v. Wade was overturned, the old Wisconsin statute from 1849 would prohibit all abortions in the state. What about this Tetzlin guy, Dom? You know, he worked for, West Virginia coal interest, Massey Coal, I believe, before he came to the state of Wisconsin.
That's right. Yeah, I remember we were out at Olydia. Where were we?
Juan's place.
Liliana. Yeah,
Liliana's. That's true.
Yes, at the bar. And he was there and he left his phone at the bar.
Well, first I introduced myself to him. I recognized him and he seemed very self-impressed that someone had recognized him in a public setting. And I had recognized him only as a write-up of the malfeasance he was doing down at the Solicitor General's office. And he was there with either his young bride or some woman he was trying to impress. And anyways, he was quite flattered. I knew who he was. And, you know, I didn't totally run the bus over him. But at some point, they were seated. They were taken off to their table to have dinner at Liliana, at Dave's place. And he left his cell phone behind. And we had in our possession the cell phone of the Solicitor General of the great state of Wisconsin.
What to do?
What did Crudy do?
You give it back. You're such a good guy, man. I know people think you're an a-hole sometimes, Crudy, but you know, deep down, you're a big teddy bear.
Regrets. I've had a few.
Yeah, but karma's a bitch. A little bit more here from the Urban Milwaukee. One of Tetzlin's first public actions as Solicitor General, he penned a piece for SCOTUS blog defending a bill that requires the state abortion providers who have admitting privileges in a hospital within 30 miles of the clinic or discontinue performing the procedure. Under that Wisconsin law, which had the effect of greatly reducing access to abortion, had been ruled unconstitutional by a federal appeals court. But Schimmel said he planned to ask the U.S. Supreme Court to review the decision, and Tetzlin handled the case. Tetzlin also wrote a friend of the court brief in support of a similar Texas law. Really, Texas law? Why are we funding Texas law, friend of the court briefs? Anyway, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the Texas law in June of 2016, and the following day refused to take on the Wisconsin case, citing its Texas decision. This ended up costing Wisconsin taxpayers $1.6 million because Planned Parenthood successfully sued to have its court costs paid by Wisconsin, the loser in the abortion case. Again, Republicans. Somebody else's money? No big deal. Schimmel also had Tetzlin write an amicus brief supporting a law in Indiana, why Indiana, that restricted abortion rights. And Tetzlin became the key person from Schimmel's staff at a November 2016 gathering by the Federalist Society and its leader, what's this guy's name? Oh, yeah, Leonard Leo at the Mayflower Hotel in Washington, D.C., just days after Trump was elected president. One focal point of the discussion was finding some way to overturn Roe v. Wade. And Tetzlin, who had served as a clerk under Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy, offered the approach. While the standard set by Roe decision made abortion legal up to fetal viability at about 24 weeks, some states had passed laws restricting it after 20 weeks. Most of these bans had not been challenged by abortion rights lawyers who feared they might be upheld by the Supreme Court, the Times story reported. What if some states cut it to 15 weeks? Tetzlin asked. He had a hard time believing that Chief Justice John Roberts or Kennedy, who had come to inhabit a role of the court's swing vote, would strike down a ban that was just a few weeks earlier than 20. Many restrictions in Europe were drawn at 12 or 15 weeks. The idea began to percolate in the conservative network. And in the summer of 2017, the Christian Legal Organization, Alliance Defending Freedom, held a four-day summit for hundreds of top conservative leaders at the luxurious Ritz-Carlton, Laguna Niguel, California, Yes List included 10 states' attorneys general, solicitors general, and a team from the Wisconsin Attorney General's office, including Tetzlin. There he presented his legal strategy to end Roe. Jamal accepted $4,000 from the Alliance Defending Freedom Fund folks to attend the conference, as the AP reported, and spent $1,000 in taxpayers' money to pay for one of his top staffers to attend. Jamal had planned to keep participation of him and his staff at the conference a secret, which was also later reported. There's more to it at the Urban Milwaukee, but that is Brad Schimmel. That's the guy running. He wants to be on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Him and his buddy Tetzlin, very involved in overturning Roe v. Wade. So this is going to be a monumental election come next spring.
Mr. Anti-Abortion. And did I hear you say he was out attending a conference in Laguna Beach, the OC, California?
Laguna Niguel. That may be, you know, near Laguna Beach. Who knows? That's the Ritz-Carlton. I mean, if it's out there, it's probably very, very, very fancy and very close to the Mustache Man.
Well, talk about the mustachioed Laguna Beach resident, Eric Hudvey. Apparently, the weather wasn't good enough here for the weekend. He went west, young man. We'll talk about it. Your beaches want to shake your tree.
California. Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Out on Bill, the Devil's Advocates, 844-967-2789.
Demnick, I got a little presser from the Wisdems. You know, had their big convention this weekend.
Yeah.
Don't know if you know, but Senator Tammy Baldwin got protested during her speech at the convention at the Potawatomi.
Oh, I did not know that.
Pro-Palestinian protesters. Mm. Like three of them. Less than an impressive showing. I just got to say, pro-Palestinian protesters. You got to have more than three. That does not impress me much.
That does not a protest make.
But anyways, breaking, according to the Wisdoms, Eric Hudvey skipped out on a campaign event in Oconee County to sit beachside at Laguna Beach Mansion. You know, that's where the kids are. Got to go home for the weekends, don't you? A breaking news report from Politico just revealed that California bank owner Eric Hudvey ditched campaigning in Wisconsin this weekend to sit on a beach at his $7 million mansion in Laguna Beach, California. Hudvey was supposed to be campaigning in Oconee County, Wisconsin. Hudvey shunned the Oconee. You know, you can only say it so many times in a row. Oconee County in Wisconsin for a different OC in California. See what they did there, Dom?
Oh, I see that. I see that.
Where he owns a $7 million mansion, a $3 billion bank, and where he's been named one of the most influential people 3 years in a row. Hudvey's weak ties to Wisconsin have also made it hard for him to build support with real Wisconsinites and find people not on his payroll to be in his ads. You know, they apparently rolled out a visual ad and identified two Hudvey employees as, you know, just fellow Wisconsinites.
Oh, like when he's like in the random bar bringing beers to everybody. Hey, I'm Eric Hudvey. I'm a man of the people. And some of those people in there, the actors, were actually employees.
Hudvey employees, apparently. You know, easier than meeting strangers, Dom. Here is a statement from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin Rapid Response Director Eric Volk. Maybe if Hudvey stops skipping out on Wisconsinites to lounge on the beach in his mega mansion in Laguna Beach, we wouldn't need to spend so much time defending his California ties. So anyways, Politico first to report that, Dom. I'm not sure why they care whether or not Eric is in Wisconsin, but that is ironic. Skipping
the playbook. I pulled it up through the link. Did Eric Hudvey opt for a California beach day over a rural Wisconsin campaign stop? Question mark. The Senate candidate was on the bill for a meet and greet at Oconee County's Copperfest parade on Saturday. Now, Crudy, I don't know if you've ever been with Copperfest. I mean, we've been up there, man. I dropped a one box in a porta potty one time at Copperfest. Joe and that whole crew used to go up there all the time, man.
The Copperfest? So what was the main draw of Copperfest?
Just, you know, out in the country drinking, having a good time away from the city, man. So I've been to Copperfest a few times. I it's all coming back to me now.
At least one more time than Eric Hudvey?
Wisconsin Democrats, who've been trying to paint him as a carpetbagger, got a photo from a tipster who said Hovde was in Laguna Beach, California, where he owns the home. You can't see the man's face, but he appears to be with Carson Lipetito, president of Hovde's bank, and he seems to have the same hat, bathing suit, and beach chair as in his previous video of Hovde that a tracker recorded. Hovde's campaign and the O'Connell County GOP did not respond to questions. Come on, man. Copperfest is a blast, Hovde.
Do you think Hovde was wearing a yellow thong similar to the banana? What do you call it? The one you wear?
Banana hammocks? After this last hour, remember we were talking about Judge Brad Schimel, former AG in the state of Wisconsin, now a candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice for next year. He had that meeting with all these, you know, super conservatives trying to figure out how to overturn Roe v. Wade at the Ritz-Carlton Laguna Niguel. Well, Kurt, I had to pull it up, do some sleuthing here myself. Apparently, that's 6.3 miles from Laguna Beach. I mean, what is it about all these folks out in the Laguna area of California, you know, influencing our politics here, man?
Do you recall when Kenneth Vogel...
You can't go to Copperfest and have this meeting? You can't go to O'Connell County? The hotels aren't nice enough in O'Connell County? I'm sorry, go ahead.
We don't have the Pacific Ocean there, Dom. And wasn't our pal Ron Johnson, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, when caught by then Politico's own Kenneth Vogel at a Americans for Prosperity event, you know, the Koch brothers, and he was telling the big donors, don't give the money to me.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Give it to AFP. You can give them like $1 million, and then they'll just spend the money to support my campaign. And Kenneth Vogel jumped out like the boogeyman. And anyways, the point was, Ron also partied in sunny California, was he not? Palm Beach? That's inland, though, is it not? I've not been to Palm Beach, California. I hear it's lovely.
It's lovely. That's lovely. Wow. Come on, there's water up in O'Connell County, man. O'Connell County, northern Wisconsin is beautiful.
Come on, man. I was on a lake earlier today.
Granted, it was, you know, Saturday, it was a little rainy. But yesterday, beautiful day here in the Midwest, at least in Wisconsin. So, you know, Hovde, you could have been here, man. If you waited an extra day, do your speechifying, do your thing. But apparently O'Connell County, the GOP, they have nothing to say, nor does the Hovde campaign.
It was sunny north of Washura County from like 1:30 on. I can tell you, eyewitness news and weather. There was a squall at like 11:30 in the evening, though. Almost had to put out the campfire, but we kept it going and then
all right, keep it going, man.
Stayed up till like 2, you know, because that's what you do when you got a campfire going.
Gotta make sure it burns out. He's gotta, you know, do it for the children, for the environment.
I have always said I can change anybody's mind given 3 to 6 hours, a 12-pack of beer, and a campfire. That's all it would take. Come back. That's it. I could be very influential when you're drunk. Just ask my wife. We got 2 kids. California love.